When I was a young man, I carried me pack, and I lived the free life of the rover. From the Murray's green basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, me country said, son, it's time to stop rambling, there's work to be. So they gave me a tin hat, and they gave me a gun, and they sent me away to the war. And the band played Waltzing Matilda when the ship pulled away from the quay. And amid all the tears, flag waving and cheers, we sailed off for Gallipoli. Oh, it's well I remember that terrible day when our blood stained the sand and the water, and how in that hell they called Suvla Bay, we were butchered like lambs at the slaughter. Johnny Turk, he was ready, he'd primed himself well. He rained us with bullets, and he showered us with shell. And in 5 minutes flat, we were all blown to hell. He nearly blew us back home to Australia. And the band played a Waltzing Matilda when we stopped to bury our slain. Well, we buried ours, and the Turks buried theirs. Then it started all over again. Oh, those that were living just tried to survive in that mad world of blood, death and fire. And for 10 weary weeks I kept myself alive, while around me the car piled higher. Then a big Turkish shell knocked me arse overhead, and when I awoke in me hospital bed and saw what it had done, I wished I was dead. I never knew there was worse things than dying. Oh, no more I'll go waltzing Matilda all around the green bush far and near, for the hump tent and pegs a man needs both legs. No more waltzing Matilda for me. They collected the wounded, the crippled, the maimed, and they shipped us back home to Australia. The armless, the legless, the blind and the insane, those proud wounded heroes of Suvla. And when the ship pulled into Circular Quay, I looked at the place where me legs used to be, and thank Christ there was no one there waiting for me to grieve and to mourn and to pity. And the band played Waltzing Matilda when they carried us down the gangway. Oh, nobody cheered, they just stood there and stared. Then they turned all their faces away. Oh, now every April I sit on my and I watch the parade pass before me. I see my old comrades, how proudly they march, renewing their dreams of past glories. I see the old men all tired, stiff, and worn. Those weary old heroes of a forgotten war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. And the band plays a waltzing Matilda. And the old men still answer the call. But year after year, the numbers get fewer. Someday no one will march there at all. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, who'll come a waltzing Matilda with me? And the ghost may be heard as they march by the billabong. So who'll come a waltzing Matilda with me?
Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. That was the late Ronnie Drew and the Dubliners there singing. The band played Waltzing Matilda, and of course playing that tonight on Wednesday night, the 24th of April, on the eve of Anzac Day. And I know many people throughout New Zealand will be getting up early to take part in dawn service parades around New Zealand. So we remember all the people that have lost their lives in the great wars. We know that many Irish people fought in both the First and Second World War as part of the British Army. Many of them were never given any recognition until the Irish government. And of course here in New Zealand we know that thousands of Kiwis died in the First World War, and indeed in the Second World War, and a number of other conflicts that have been happening around the world. So we remember them tonight as we celebrate another, what do you call it, week of a holiday here in New Zealand with Easter. But we look around the world and we see the terrible tragedies that have unfolded. And it started on Good Friday, eve of Good Friday, in the Craigan in Derry. We'll talk more about this later, when a young journalist, Lyra McKee, who was out covering riots in the Craigan area of Derry, when she was shot by a member of the new IRA. They claimed responsibility for this, and we'll talk more about them and indeed the late Lauren McKee on the programme tonight. The programme you're listening to is brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and you're listening to us in Auckland on a Wednesday night, our delayed broadcast going out in Christchurch on Saturday night, Kapiti Coast and Wellington on Sunday afternoon and evening. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz around New Zealand and indeed around the world. So we'll have plenty of good music and all the latest news coming from Ireland on the programme tonight. So up next we have Luca Bloom singing Dreams in America.
One lie in ecstasy. Breezes soothe our souls. Would you listen to the lover's fantasy? Through the eyes of love, I see his face. Then the words of love, I call your name. Through the eyes of love, I see your face. And in these dreams, I feel no.
Luca Bloom there, Christy Moore's younger brother, and Luca was a guest on Miriam O'Callaghan's Sunday morning programme on Sunday night. Heard some of the interview and heard him playing a few songs, and he's just returned to Ireland after a trip down to Australia. Hasn't been to New Zealand for a while. And I heard an interview yesterday with Ryan Tuberty with John Boyne, the famous Irish author. And in just closing his interview, he said he's getting away from controversy around a new book that he's just published. He's been obviously haunted online by trolls, as he says. And I think the title of the new book is My Brother's Name is Lucy, or it's certainly John is an openly gay person, but he's a very, very accomplished author, and he said he's on his way to New Zealand to get away from some of the controversy in Ireland, so he may be coming here. I meant to look it up. I'll try to do it before next week here for the book festival that's on in Auckland over the next few weeks. Welcome along. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here out of the Auckland studio on a Wednesday night on the eve of Anzac Day, and we know that there'll be cut back on some of the parades tomorrow, but I know most people will be able to get out. And there's huge crowds expected in Auckland for the parade, the dawn service. And I believe that His Royal Highness will be here for the 11 o'clock parade, so there'll probably be even a bigger crowd for that as well. Don't forget the Darkness Into Life event, which is coming up on the 11th of May. Still time to register for the walks in Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington and Christchurch. Go onto the website darknessintolight.ie and you can get all the details there. Another thing you want to put in your diary for the May, end of May, the Hugh Green Foundation New Zealand Rose of Tralee Bowl. That's happening at the Hilton Hotel. So if you'd like to go to that, the Irish Society are hosting the event this year in Auckland. So on Friday night, the 24th of May, there's a meet and greet at the Auckland Irish Society. A light supper will be served and there's a small cost there, $20. Then the foundation ball on the following night, the 25th, this is starting at 6 o'clock with a buffet dinner, Irish music, Irish dance and music, and interviews of the Roses. And individual tickets are $130 each, or a table for 10. That's $1,200, $120 each. So if you organise a table of 10, so could you please, if you're keen to go, get in, what do you call, touch with Maureen Laird or Buckley, Denise Murray, sorry. And Maureen's email is maureenlaird10@gmail.com. And Denise's email is murrayandbuckley@extra.co.nz. You can get in touch with them through the Irish Society if you want to attend those events. And don't forget the comedy night over on the North Shore at the Takapuna Football Club on Friday the 10th of May, organised by Brian Giblin. He'll be on edge at the moment, a big Liverpool fan, as they come to the end of a season that will obviously bring success or failure for them. They're almost there. And the soccer world is mourning the death of Billy McNeil, former Celtic player and Celtic manager, who passed away yesterday. I think he was only in his late 70s, but many tributes being paid to him in all the papers today. On the front of the Irish Independent today, it says, "Love trial jury told don't be swayed by emotion, sympathy, anger or disgust. The jury in the Tipperary murder trial has been told it must not be influenced by emotion, sympathy, anger or disgust in coming to its verdict. Jurors yesterday requested printouts of the Garda interviews with murder accused Patrick Quirk, and also sought phone records entered in evidence after the beginning of his deliberations. They deliberated for about an hour and a half yesterday, and they're coming back. This trial has been running in Dublin for about nearly 2 months. And weather has been very good, beautiful weather in Ireland over the weekend. In fact, it was 22 on Sunday and Monday. And we'll have all the details of sports that was played at the weekend. When we come back, we'll talk more about the tragedy in Derry on Thursday night that's led to an outpouring of support for the young journalist who was murdered on Friday night, on that Holy Thursday night. But up next, we're going to continue, and this time we Dolores.
I don't know if you can see the changes that I've been afraid that I might drift away. I've been telling old stories, singing songs that make me think about where I come from. That's the reason why I seem so far away. Traveled hearts and times with conscience flying somewhere with the wind. Let me tell you that I love you, that I want you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. But if I should become a stranger, no, it would make me more than sad. Ever. I'm sitting here before the fire, the empty room, a forest choir. The flames have cooled, don't get any higher. They've withered now, they've gone. But I'm steady thinking, my way is clear, and I know what I will do tomorrow. When the hands have shaken, the kisses flowed, then I will disappear. Let me tell you that I love you, that I think about you all the time. Caledonia, you're calling me, now I'm going home. But if I should become a stranger, no, it would make me more than sad. Caledonia's been everything I've ever
Yes, the wonderful sound there and voice of Dolores Keane and her version of Caledonia. And you're listening to Ireland Calling here. Maybe you're listening to us online on planetaudio.org.nz, and maybe in Christchurch on Saturday night, and Wellington, Capita Coast on Sunday afternoon, and here in Auckland on a Wednesday night. The programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, on the eve of the 21st anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, the police in Northern Ireland and Derry were acting on intelligence that there was going to be certainly a breakout of violence at parades commemorating the 1916 rising in Derry on over the weekend, the Easter celebrations. And they entered the Creggan area on late on Thursday night, and obviously knew that there was going to be some trouble, so they went in big numbers. And this number of journalists were covering the event as well. So obviously scuffles broke out, and there was bottles thrown, firebombs thrown, and everything. This is late in the evening, about after 10, half 10. And then there was a few shots fired. The police said they didn't fire any shots, but at least there was two young people seen with guns, and they fired in the direction of the police. But they didn't injure or hit a police officer, but shot a young journalist who was near the police cordon in the head. She fell to the ground and was rushed to hospital, but was dead on admission. Turned out her name was Lyra McKee. She had just moved to Derry to be with her partner. She was in a same-sex relationship, and she certainly has written a few books, and she was, you know, one of the only 29 out there trying to, you know, get the story across about what's happening in Northern Ireland over the last few years. In places like Derry, she was really a spokesperson for young people of Derry that don't have a voice to say there's been a vacuum there since the collapse of the Northern Ireland executive nearly 2.5 years ago. Brexit issues aren't helping, and obviously there's a lot of young people in areas that have no work, they're unemployed, and there's this splinter group called the New IRA. They have nothing to do with the Provisional IRA. Well, they have. The Provisional IRA are still on, you know, they signed up to the Good Friday Agreement, they decommissioned their arms, but there's obviously dissidents within the Provisional IRA that have now set up this organisation called the New IRA. They've already planted a bomb in Belfast that could have killed a number of young people outside the courthouse back in January, but thankfully there was nobody injured that particular night. But they've taken, they admitted yesterday that they apologised for the killing of Lara McKee, who was accidentally shot as they were trying to free Ireland and get a 32-county republic. So outrage on Friday as news broke of this, outrage again on Saturday, and even bigger outrage on Sunday when a group of these so-called new IRA volunteers had permission to march up O'Connell Street. They started down at the Garden of Remembrance and marched up. There was only about 200 of them, and some of them were actually wearing uniforms that were akin to the British Army uniforms, but there's been a lot of talk about the size of some of these men, and they had the tricolour sold to the, you know, their uniforms and stuff like this, but they had applied to the Dublin City Council for permission to march, and they marched. And there was only one person that stood out and told them, you know, they have a cheek. In fact, all the government ministers have come out and said this is so disrespectful, and to get off the bus and, you know, cop themselves on. But there's a dissident group, and certainly they seem to have a little network in Derry, a fairly big number in Derry, some in Belfast and some in Dublin. But certainly after murdering Lara McKee, whose funeral takes place in Belfast today, the President of Ireland is travelling up, the Taoiseach is travelling, the Secretary for Northern Ireland will be there. And in a show of reconciliation, the head of the DUP, Arlene Foster, and indeed Michelle O'Neill, turned up in Craigan on Good Friday afternoon, you know, at what do you call it, in solidarity with the family of Lara McKee, who was killed. So going back to the dark old days of this sectarian type violence in Northern Ireland. But before I take the next piece of music, there was a good journalist on RTE last night, and he was saying, you know, there's been a vacuum left there for a long time. The fact that there's no government in operation in Northern Ireland, and Brexit is still up in the air, it's not doing a great service. And he said that the city of Derry certainly has been neglected. There's no peace dividend that has come there in the last 20 years. So there'll be thousands, I'm sure, at Lyra's funeral later this afternoon. OK, we'll move on. And this time it's the Curra of Kildare and the Bards.
The winter, it is past, and the summer's come at last, and the birds, they are singing in the trees. Their little hearts are glad, but mine is very sad, for my true love is far away from me. And straight I will repair to the Curra of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. A livery I'll wear, and I'll comb back my hair, and in velvet so green I will appear, and straight I will repair to the Curra of Kildare, for it's there I'll find tidings of my dear. Are in love and it remove, I pity the pain that you endure, for experience lets me know that your hearts are full of woe. A woe that no mortal can cure. And straight I will repair to the Curragh of Kildare. For it's there I'll find tidings of my game.
Yes, indeed, that's Dermot O'Leary there, and the Bards and the Curragh of Kildare. And of course, the Curragh of Kildare is synonymous with racing, but not far away. In Punchestown, the Grand National, Irish Grand National, took place on Monday. And Willie Mullins, who's one of the leading trainers in Ireland, this is the only race that he hasn't won in a stellar career. But he had horses, three of his horses came first, second and third on the great race on Monday. And Ruby Walsh, no better man. Ruby, he rode the winner for Willie. And the horse came in at about 6-1. It was a favourite. So not a good day for the bookies when Ruby on Borough Saint, the favourite, won the Grand National in glorious sunshine. So even Michael D. Higgins and his wife Sabina were there. And I'm sure on Saturday they were watching on both Saturday and Sunday. The rugby, the Heineken Cup semi-finals took place first of all on Saturday. Munster, without some of their star players, Joey and Keith Earls, who were both injured, they went over to Ricoh Stadium in Coventry to take on Saracens, and they were in the game till half time, but sadly Saracens pulled away, and they won the semi-final, and they awaited the second semi-final, which was played in glorious sunshine in Dublin. Indeed, the game on Saturday was in glorious sunshine as well at the Aviva Stadium. There was about 40,000 people there to cheer on Leinster against Toulouse, and again a great game, the game directed by Johnny Sexton. He was given man of the match, although it could have gone to James Lowe, the former Chiefs player, or indeed James Ryan. But Leinster put in a superb performance, and they'll take on Saracens now. I think that final is on the 11th of May, and that game being played at Newcastle. So it's kind of the might of Irish clubs against English clubs, Saracens having about six English internationals and of course about six or seven Irish internationals. And there's Pro 14 games to be played between now and then. And after the Heineken Cup, it's pretty much the players will get a rest, and then they'll regroup again at about the end of June, and that's when they'll start their pre-World Cup training camps. And there's about four trial matches to be played before Ireland take on Scotland in that first World Cup match about the 22nd of September in Japan. Right, we'll move on. Speaking of Ruby, looking at him here, picking up his beautiful platter for riding the Grand National winner on Monday. And we'll have Christy here singing all about the bad Ruby Walsh. Right, Christy, take it away.
There's Bethlehem and Cheltenham and Lourdes and the Burdick Junction. The trip to Mingingoria, the rub of the extra motion. Good people thank Kilpatrick with serenity on their faces. But Ruby Walsh, she saved me life below the Galway races. Ruby held her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. There are their starters, orders, Ted Walsh is coming to him. Ruby's up at the favour, she'll take some betting. Necks are craned and eyes are strained, there's fear upon the faces. There's agony and ecstasy below at the Galway races. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack. Gentility and she dressed up like mutton. There's double-barreled names with more ears than normal logic. The talk is all of tillage, of silage and conmaker. I fancy Tracy bigger in the saddle and enclosure. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Sir John McSavage's mind is there with Smurfits and O'Reilly. And jockeys with silk around their arses, getting up on Richmond's horses. But don't mention wives and daughters, the Lamb of God and come back from the gravy. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Thursday is the ladies' day and the women all look smashing. They're lashing and the lipstick full of Tracy's all the fashion. You can see the liposuction, the Botox and augmentation. Brazilian haircuts, colonic irrigation. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. And everyone's out to salt hell for the crank in front of the porter. There's monkeys neighing on us and two flies walking up the wall. There's folk and tried with their disco and karaoke and said dances. While some of us who've seen better days were looking to take our chances. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. He has her in the canter. A look at her lip, the jumps begun. She's like a ballet dancer. Well, over the last she hits the front and nothing has gone to pass her. When you're all right, it's up till there. Follow me up to Carlo. Hey, Ruby, hold her back. Give her the crank and up she'll go. Hey, Ruby, hold her back. Give her the crank.
Yes, indeed, the great Christy Moore there singing all about the great Ruby Walsh, who was the rider of the Grand National winner on Monday, which took place at Fairy House. That's where the Grand National is held. If you're tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, the European elections and council elections take place on the 26th of May, so today is the first day that people can start putting up their posters on. But if you're in Dalkey, you're not going to have much luck because the Dalkey Tidy Towns Committee said they'll remove and destroy election posters. Number of seagulls in Balbriggan becoming uncivilised and dangerous. Speaking of dangerous, those dangerous fires in Donegal, which police are suspicious that they may have been started deliberately. Gorse fires burned near Annagry in Donegal near Milford. And there was hundreds of acres of land destroyed. Up to 15 units of the Donegal Fire Service, supported by the Civil Defence, the Air Corps and the Army, and hundreds of locals fought the fires for hours. They destroyed one holiday home and damaged vehicles. So certainly disappointment, obviously very, very warm weather. Trinity zoologists discovered two new bird species on an Indonesian island. The Wangi Wangi White Eye and the Wakatobi White Eye, which are a particular new breed. So the scientists said to find two new species from the same genus of birds in the same island is remarkable. As I said, other stories making the news in Ireland. All the teachers, schools are on holidays at the moment, so the teachers' conferences are on this week. And obviously, I was listening to one of the general secretaries of the Teachers Union of Ireland as I was driving in tonight. He was on the RT News talking about the shortage of teachers, and there'll be teachers, more and more teachers leaving Ireland, and there'll be less teachers trained to become teachers unless there's pay restoration. And obviously the teachers had to take big cutbacks as a result of the global financial crisis, but junior teachers especially have been badly treated, and he's calling for pay parity. Otherwise, he said, we won't have decent teachers to be teaching our pupils leading forward. Teachers want pensions upgrade for those appointed since 2013. As one heading here, overworked school leaders are chasing mice and unblocking toilets. The iron workloads for principals have increased exponentially in recent years. The only resolution to pay inequality is the restoration of pay equality for all teachers. Union warns over leaving cert exam reforms. The government must enter into renegotiations with teachers on the proposed senior cycle reforms or else risk them failing. The Teachers Union of Ireland have said, and Minister insists government will consider abolishing two-tier pay scales. Well, that's obviously good. Comments after conflicting signals from the government over the controversial issue. And as I said earlier on, the jury are deliberating. In fact, they're probably out there now into the trial of the murder of the Moonshine, Mr. Moonshine. His name was Bobby Ryan, a part-time DJ and the accused man, Patrick Quirk. There's pictures of him in all the papers today, seen leaving the criminal courts in Dublin yesterday. So the justice, High Court justice, has told the jury, you know, just make your judgment on the facts, nothing else. And of course, they've been listening to all the evidence over the last 2 months. In fact, this trial might have been going longer than 2 months. Okay, you're listening to Ireland Calling, and brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. We're off with some more music, and this time I'm looking around here to see what we'll line up here next on my playlist here. Why not give the old Saw Doctors the N17 a blast? Yes, mightn't be as busy now as it was when that song was written. That's the N17, which is the main road between Toom and Galway. But with the new motorway there in operation, it's probably not that busy. But the Saw Doctors there and the N17. Well, of course, we all woke up here or heard the news on late on Sunday night about the terrible suicide bombings in Sri Lanka and New Zealand. With strong connections, my son Patrick was on a tour with Ross Minnie, a cricket tour a few years ago, and they stayed in one of the hotels that were bombed. But of course then we saw that St. Anthony's Church was packed with worshippers for Easter Sunday Mass, and I heard the priest or the bishop being interviewed last night, and he had left a note in the sacristy, and he went from the altar into the sacristy to get the notes about something he needed to include in the Mass. And literally the fact that he left the altar for 15 seconds saved his life. The latest number of deaths now is up at 260, I think I heard, or 360 this morning. And many people are being buried. There was no Irish person killed, and or a New Zealander, as we know, but many innocent Sri Lankans just going about their duties, some of them working in hotels, some of them just worshipping at the churches like many of us here were on Easter Sunday. And we had our own terrible atrocity here on March the 15th that many people are still coming to terms with, but to see the devastation in Sri Lanka is just unbelievable. And for a country that had known a certain type of peace for the last 10 years, this is just hard to comprehend. And most of the suicide bombers were all well-educated people from middle-class families that have been obviously brainwashed by the people that obviously coerced them or into doing this. Well, news has been announced today that President Trump will make a state visit to the United Kingdom in June at the invitation of the Queen. He'll be there in early June, I think, from the 1st to the 3rd. And now people in Ireland are wondering, well, is he going to drop into Ireland and have a round of golf at his golf course in Doonbeg in County Clare on the way? But he did tweet in about June last year that he was going to come to Ireland in November. But probably somebody told him November isn't a good time to play golf in the west of Ireland. So he packed that up and he said he would like to come back. And he told the Taoiseach on St. Patrick's Day that he plans to come to Ireland. So whether he might come to Ireland for a day on his way to London, we'll know inside the next week or two. Certainly he'd need to give the Irish government a bit of notice so they could get things in order for him, because I think they'll have to honour him with a state dinner in Dublin and then get him down to County Clare. And when the President of the United States is travelling, everything else stops to make way for him. As we know, that's what happened when President Barack Obama visited Ireland a few years ago. Right, we'll take another bit of music this time. Well, the summer certainly came to Ireland at the weekend with Mary Black and Summer Sent You.
You with desire, when the morning comes, my luck will be perfectly plain. When the morning comes, my beloved one, when the morning comes, you will know that we both feel safe. In the afternoon, things will pale into nothing. In the afternoon, we'll know what it is to believe. When it's afternoon and I covet you, in the afternoon, I'll give you no reason to leave. Thank you. every time. In the evening time, I love you as before. Done with time and patience, I move with the crowd. Lonely in my silence and being without. Then all in one instant, straight out of the blue, out of all its goodness, the summer sent you. All in one sweet instant,
Mary Black there and Summer Sent You. And as I said, certainly the summer seemed to arrive in Ireland. Beautiful weather there for Easter, and weather this week is not too bad. Well, the football championship doesn't get underway for another couple of weeks, but if you want to be ready for it, make sure you sign up and get a membership to gaago.ie. You can log on to the website gaago.ie. And you can see all the different options that are there, a particular game, or to watch the whole season. And you can download and watch the games. You can watch them on your laptop or computer, and iPhones or iPads, and certainly plug it into your televisions. And the sound is excellent, so don't miss out. And get in there. There's deals where you sign up for 12 months and you can get all the back games. There's archive games up there. I had a look at the, I was in Sydney in 1988 and I listened to the Galway Tipperary hurling final. Well, I listened to most of it. I fell asleep listening to Micheál and Murray Hertig. Unfortunately, it was on at about 2 o'clock in the morning over there. Well, maybe it was a bit earlier, but certainly I missed out the last few minutes and didn't know for about a week who won. But that game is up on the archives there, and played in Croke Park in 1988. Galway obviously had won the year before. I was lucky enough to be there to see them beat Kilkenny in 87, and they were heading for three in a row in 89 when we know what became known as the Tony Keady affair. So, but all the sports writers, the GA writers, are doing their predictions for the season ahead. And I see Martin Brahney, who's from the same parish as myself, in today's Irish Independent. He says who has the biggest calls to make before liftoff. Pre-championship fine-tuning will have a big impact on summer campaigns. So in football, in Mayo, is it Clark or Hinnerly? That's the decision James Horan will have to make in picking his goalkeeper. Galway, time for instinct. Even allowing for the second half collapsed against Dublin in last year's All-Ireland semi-final, Galway have made considerable progress, but people are still unhappy with the way Galway are playing. They start their campaign off against London and Ruislip in a few weeks' time. Armagh, what's happening up there in Ulster? Cork down, I think, in Division 3. Maybe they've even gone down to Division... No, they're demoted to Division 3. There are talented players there. They have to do the right things. They're eager for success, and we'll keep on in hurling. Tipperary, facts don't lie. So two wins from the last 11 league and championship games represent one of Tip's least successful 12-month periods in history. So they've got a lot to do. Wexford, is there a system change needed down there? Dave Fitzgerald has done an excellent job building on the solid platform inherited from Liam Dunn. But he now faces a real dilemma. Does he stick with the current setup for the last two seasons and hope it'll work? Or does he try something different? Waterford, moving on is never easy. They've played a certain way under Derek McGrath for 5 years, and now they're adjusting to Pádraig Fanning's different approach. And Galway, leaders wanted. How will Galway cope for as long as Joe Canning is out, who will take extra responsibility. So these are some of the decisions that managers and coaches will be making over the coming weeks leading up to the start of the All-Ireland Hurling and Football Championship. So that's about it from me. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme tonight, and I'll be back here again next week with another edition of Ireland Calling. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support. We'll leave you tonight with a couple of Slip Jigs, and don't forget tomorrow to remember all the fallen on Anzac Day. Not alone New Zealand soldiers, but Irish soldiers, and indeed soldiers from all countries that have died in some of the terrible wars that we've had over many, many years. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.